Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
It's Barbecue Nation with JT on a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now here's JT on FM News 101.
Hey everybody, thanks for tuning in to the Nation, Barbecue Nation today. I'm JT along with Super Producer Reynolds. You know, summer is winding down, but grilling and barbecue is going on and on. And as promised last week, today on the Nation, we're going to talk with Roger Collins from Flame Boss. Flame Boss is one of the coolest temperature control units out there on the market today. And Roger invented this thing, kind of like inventing a better mousetrap, but he did it with thermometers and temp controls, and it actually turned into a flaming business, pun intended there, I must say. And later on the show, we're going to be visiting with Chef Simon. You know him as an author, a TV personality, Simon Majumdar, and who happens to be in Oregon, and he'll be judging at the Oregon State Fair the salmon contest Saturday afternoon. So and our music, of course, today is Cheap Trick. You heard that introduction to Ain't It a Shame there, and we'll close that out at the end of the segment. Anyway, Roger Collins from Flame Boss, welcome to Barbecue Nation.
Thank you.
How you doing? You made it home. You were out traveling, and you were going through a storm last night, so I assume you are home safe and sound with the pooches.
Yes, everybody was relieved when we landed because we thought a pilot basically had to find a route between the rings or the bands, I guess is what we call them.
Yeah.
The hurricane that was coming into Florida.
Well, you made it. That's good. It's safe and sound. So, Roger, let me ask you. I know your bio says that you know, you love to grill, you love to smoke, you loved barbecue, you liked all that stuff, and we all do. What actually truly prompted you to build something like the Flame Boss?
Well, I've been developing software the kind that would run in a device like Flame Boss for decades. And I had always wanted to design hardware. And it started out as a project to learn how to do that. And it just kept growing and growing and growing from that original motivation.
And you brought your brother in on this project?
Yes, we had operated a business before together, and we enjoyed working together, and it was almost kind of a litmus test for whether this was an opportunity. If he would join me, then I would say that, yeah, there probably was. If he didn't, then I would say, let's keep it a hobby.
Sure. Now, why don't you run through with our listeners exactly what the Flame Boss does? I mean, I've read everything about it that you can possibly read, except maybe the owner's manual, but it seems like it's a very useful and very efficient temperature control and timer and heat control and all those things, but I'm going to let you put it in your own words.
Sure. What it does is first of all, just to revisit the way every smoker works is that the air that flows through it is really what is determining how big the fire is and thus how hot the smoker is. And so what we do is instead of controlling that airflow with vents, we just put a small fan in one of the vents and control the airflow with that fan. And a computer is always monitoring the temperature of the pit and then adjusting the speed of the fan as needed to, you know, make the pit whatever temperature you want. Now, that's the very general description. Of course, there's a lot of devil in the details when it comes to actually doing all that.
Sure. And how much did you actually test it yourself? I mean, you had to. I mean, that would be a cool thing if you invented something like this. All the testing you had to do, and all the meets and different things you had to go through. So,
you nailed it. That was probably the funnest part of the project, is getting together. And when I first started, I didn't even have a smoker, so I had to go to my friend's house, which made it even more fun.
Oh.
And he was the one that wanted a controller, and I said, "Well, you don't have to buy one. I'll make one." That's exactly the kind of project I was looking for. So yeah, and it wasn't only just fun; it actually made the product dramatically better, because we spent a lot of time fussing with the performance of the temperature control and making lots of changes as we researched it and analyzed the performance of it.
So how would you actually do that? I mean, let's say you're cooking a brisket or a tri-tip or whatever, and you're doing that, and then give us a little course in barbecue engineering here. How would you tweak those the adaptations of the temperature when you were actually, you know, putting your calculations together to create this? Does that make sense to you?
One of the key tools that was being used, of course, was the data logging. So and FlameBoss does that even now. It adjusts, or it records the temperature and adjusts its fan speed every second. And I was basically just logging that data every second, and it was funny how much difference seeing a graph of the temperature over time helps you, or it basically provides the benchmark. Because when you see a graph, that's when it's clear to say, well, what you ideally want is for that graph to not be moving much from the set point. The set point is the temperature that you want the smoker to be.
Right.
And so if you want the smoker to be 225, you would like to see the actual temperature be 225 and not moving much around that. And so one of the basic things was just achieving that, precise temperature control. And if I had not been using graphs, I may not have ever been motivated to make it so precise, but part of it is, you see it, moving away from the set point too much. And if there is something you can do to improve it, well, you just do it.
Does FlameBoss take into its calculations, if you will, or consideration, the ambient temperature outside, the humidity, things like that?
It does only indirectly. Those things do affect the performance of the actual smoker. But we take those into account simply by looking for the end goal, which is the temperature, and what output, how much fan speed we needed to do to deliver in order to achieve whatever temperature you want. So one thing we do that does actually compensate for the changes in humidity and ambient temperature is every oscillation of the temperature around the set point, we actually readjust what the fan speed should be when it is at the set point and there is no error.
Hmm.
In process control terminology, that's called a feed forward. That's something that you're setting a fan speed based on what temperature you want it to be without doing any correction based on, any error in the calculation.
Now, these were basically built for Kamado-style grills, but can you use them on other smokers or barbecues or what have you?
Absolutely. We actually have two kits. One is called Kamado, and it fits almost all the Kamado-style smokers. And the other is called Universal, which fits almost everything else. It'll fit a Weber Smoky Mountain, for example. Excuse the dog.
No worries.
And it comes with a pipe fitting, so it would fit a lot of competition offset smokers. And it, you know, it basically has a more universal fit to it. For example, you could take even a drum, and as long as you drill a 1-inch hole in it, you can use the hardware that's in this kit to attach the blower.
Okay. Roger, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back with Roger Collins from Flame Boss here on Barbecue Nation and the Radio Northwest Network. Don't go away. We will be right back.
It's full-flavored radio, Barbecue Nation with JT on FM News 101.
Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation here on the Radio Northwest Network and our home base high above the street level, I guess, at KXL here in downtown Portland. I'm JT along with Reynolds, and you are listening to the Barbecue Nation. If you have a question for us, you can email us at barbecuenation, that's bbqnation at kxl.com, or at recipes at kxl.com. And Reynolds is going to tell us about Facebook, and we're fixing it. I know some of you have gone to it, and there was an error, and neither Reynolds doing nor mine, but we're fixing that, right?
We have the tech guys on top of it.
We have the tech guys on top of it.
It is facebook.com/barbecuenation with JT.
Yay.
And we will fix that shortly.
We will fix that shortly, yes. And I want to say hello to a couple of our affiliates down the line, KLBM in LeGrand and KFLS in Klamath Falls, and everybody out there on the Radio Northwest Network. We're talking with Roger Collins, who created the Flame Boss, and we'll have Roger's information on our website here at KXL, and also put it on the Cowboy Cook website and of course, Facebook and all that. But this is one of the slicker temperature control units out there. So, you know, Roger, kind of to recount here, you had a passion for barbecue, but you were really a kind of a software engineer kind of guy, and you combined that to create this. And why is this so important? I mean, I can tell you from sitting behind the microphone that over the years, the one thing that is a constant in the barbecue business is temperature. Watch your temperature. Use a thermometer. Watch your temperature. And, you know, you get no argument out of me on that. But you took it one step further with this so that you really don't have to keep checking.
Well, you just nailed it at the very end as far as the motivation for myself and for our customers, frankly, is, you know, probably the biggest thing they get from it is sleep. Because a lot of these cooks, if you're cooking a large pork shoulder, you're cooking it overnight. And the only way to be sure that the temperature is going to stay consistent through the night is to have something like our product controlling it, or you're checking on vents manually, every hour or two just to make sure you're babysitting, basically.
Sure.
And, you know, when you have friends over and you're doing that during the day, that can actually be fun. But, you know, sometimes you want to do something else. And that's where it really, that's where people appreciate it the most, is it just frees you from having to watch it.
Well, and there's a lot of, you know, time for beer consumption or whatever, and sometimes those two ratios don't work out, beer and then the focus on the temperature. You know, more excess in one leads to more mistakes in the other one, and I've actually seen that personally in my life. So I think this is a good idea. What's important to you? I mean, as somebody who grills and barbecues and smokes, tell us a little bit about what you like to do so that our audience can get to know you a little more.
I'm sorry, but do you mean what I like to do other than these things, smoking?
No, when you're doing it. What do you, I mean, you live in Florida, you have different things, you have different types of fish and stuff, you barbecue down there, meats. So,
well, you know what? Yeah, one of the things I do that I have kind of been kind of surprised at is basically how delicious a slow-cooked pulled pork or a brisket can be without being much trouble. You know, most of the times when you see an expert do it, they have a very complicated process and maybe a complicated recipe. But, my recipe is usually three ingredients. The meat, you put a mustard base on it. Let's take a pulled pork, for example.
Sure.
And because that's even easier than I would make a brisket. Pulled pork, after I put a base of mustard and pick my favorite rub and put a generous amount of that on it, I'll put it on the smoker, set it for 225, and come back when the internal meat temperature is at 200 degrees, and it's done. And it's absolutely delicious, and it basically is easy to make as almost anything anyone makes in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess that's one of the things that I like to do that you don't see as much in, you know, among, you know, on the internet and stuff, because most people want to do more and make it better. And I'm sure it might be better if you injected it, for example, and, you know, did some other things that professionals do to win contests and things. But you don't have to. All I'm saying is you can make a very delicious product with a very simple recipe. And that's one thing I like about it.
Well, I've cooked on TV for a long time, and I can tell you this, that this is not scientifically proven. This is a JT theory. But if I give somebody more than like five ingredients in a recipe, they won't do it. They won't follow it. I mean, some people get out there and they've got, you know, 15 things and you've got 1/8 of a teaspoon of thyme or something like that. Well, in my experience,
mm-hmm.
1/8 of a teaspoon of thyme is not going to reflect that heavily in the, you know, your final product taste. And so I just don't do those guys. I mean, I can do them. That's not the point. The point is that the more complicated, it's kind of like stay with the old, keep it simple, stupid, you know, type theory in cooking. And it works out better for most people, I think.
Yes, and yeah, and the style kind of fits with what we did, making a tool to make it even easier so you don't have to, you know, babysit the smoker.
Sure. Roger, we've got about a minute left here. Tell us how, and like I said, we'll put the web information and stuff on our sites, but tell folks how they can find out about Flame Boss.
Well, I guess the best way is to go to the website, flameboss.com. And there they can find videos and, you know, information about the products, the different kits and attachments to different smokers, and several videos. And I would also say Facebook is pretty lively, too. A lot of people are sharing their cooks online there and talking about different recipes and things like that.
All right. Roger Collins from Flame Boss. Thanks a lot for being with us today, Roger. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
We're going to come back. We're going to be with Chef Simon and some other fun things here on The Nation in a couple minutes. See you then.
For JT, call him right now at 503-417-9KXL or 877-733-1011.
Hey, welcome back to The Nation. That would be Barbecue Nation here on the Radio Northwest Network and KXL. Don't forget, you can email us at barbecuenation, that's bbqnation@kxl.com, or recipes@kxl.com, and I will get back to you personally on that. It is my extreme honor to welcome our next guest, and he goes by Simon, although for the introduction, Simon, I'm going to call you Chef, okay? We're going to say Chef Simon Majumdar, but we're just going to call him Simon. So welcome to Barbecue Nation, my friend.
Thank you for inviting me.
Ah, not a problem. Now, Simon, this afternoon, because this show airs on Saturday, Simon is going to be judging, I believe it's at 5 o'clock, the salmon grilling contest or barbecue contest at the Oregon State Fair. So you will get a chance to go down there and see him in person if you're in the Salem area. So I want to get that out there right away. Simon, you're an incredible guy. I read yesterday where they call you kind of the Indiana Jones of the foodie set. How did you come up with that? Not you, but who labeled you with that?
Well, that was one of the quotes I got when I wrote my first book. And I think it comes from the fact that I now have this kind of extraordinary second life. I was a book publisher to begin with in London, but I quit my job almost a decade ago now to go around the world to eat. And now I live by this mantra with my wife here in the U.S., go everywhere, eat everything. And so whenever we have a spare moment, we kind of fill our backpacks and hop on a plane, and you know, we go around the world. So in the last few months, we've been to Thailand, Myanmar, where Israel, Jordan, England, France. We're off soon to Ethiopia and Spain, all over the United States. I've been lucky enough to visit every one of these, you know, beautiful United States of ours, and I'm now an American citizen, so I was very proud to be able to achieve that. And I think everywhere we go, we just go and eat, and use it as a way of meeting people in these countries and in the States.
You know, Simon, that's a hell of a good job if you can get it. That's what I'm going to tell you there.
I'm not going to lie. It's I'm very lucky. You know, I have people say to me, yo, that can't be a job. You enjoy it. But I always say, you know, who said you weren't allowed to love what you do? And I really do love what I do.
Oh, yes. Well, for those of you who are not familiar, Simon has appeared multiple times on Cutthroat Kitchen and Beat Bobby Flay, Iron Chef of America. He's written, what, three books now?
Three books now, working on my fourth as we speak.
Oh, excellent.
One more coming soon, hopefully. But my last one, Fed White and Blue, was about me becoming an American citizen and kind of having people invite me all around the country to share their food experiences so I could get to meet, you know, as many of my fellow Americans as possible.
Well, congratulations on becoming a citizen, too. I think that's cool that you did that.
Thank you. Yeah, it was very cool. It was very, particularly the ceremony itself, a little under 2 years now, was very moving. More, you know, than I don't expect to be too teary-eyed as a 50-something-year-old man, but I was quite moved by it.
Yeah, it can be that way. A friend of mine from the golf world did that, and I saw the ceremony, and it was emotional for him because he had gone through a lot of ups and downs, you might say. Anyway, back to the food. Now you're probably not going to have any oysters in your food and your
No oysters and no coffee for me.
Okay.
They have a rather odd effect on me, so I keep away from oysters and coffee, and I have to be careful now with barbecue because so many people are using, you know, espresso or coffee grounds or something in their barbecue rub. So I do have to ask sometimes if they have done, because it can be a bit unpleasant.
Yes. Well, you won't ever have to worry about that with me, Simon, because I don't drink coffee and never have, nothing other than the fact I didn't like the taste of it. So I put our coffee grounds at home from my wife. I put those in the garden, and that helps.
Yeah, they work, definitely work in the garden. They don't work in my stomach.
So, you know, living in England, coming to the United States, there's obviously two very different styles of just basic foods there. But you said you like to work with barbecue teams, and, you know, you obviously judge some stuff, but you also compete or help people. How was the influence from growing up in England and then coming to America later in life and doing that? How did those two mesh to come up with, you know, how you're viewing food and how you're viewing barbecue?
Well, barbecue particularly was always a passion for me. And I used to come over before I lived here. I used to come over regularly to go on tours of my, you know, my brother and myself driving around Texas or the Carolinas or, you know, Kansas City.
Sure.
Or all over the country, eating barbecue and loving the different styles, just because it was I love the people in that community. It's a great community of people, and I feel like a lot of them are family now. And then I actually started to get invited to compete. So
For the last decade, I've cooked on a team at the American Royal every year. This year, unfortunately, I'm going to miss it because they moved the date. But I cooked at the American Royal. I know a lot of people. I'm constantly getting invitations to go to Memphis in May or the Jack, and I just miss them because of filming dates.
Sure.
And I just love the spread. I love the variety of styles. But I think most of all what I like about it is the people. It's really, if you look at my Facebook friends, there's huge numbers of barbecue people in there.
Yeah.
And I work with, you know, I've done some things to help Operation Barbecue, which is a great organization that helps people in times of need, and they go and feed people and first responders. They're down in Louisiana now. And so it's just a great group of people, and they really care about what they're doing. They help each other. There's no kind of animosity, even though they're competing, and they're fun people to hang out with. So it's just a great group of people, and I like the end result as well.
Oh yes,
So you know, it helps. And I even, you know, different styles. So I'm slowly getting my head around the kind of West Coast, the tri-tip and the Santa Maria style.
Mm-hmm.
Which is very different, but it's definitely its own type of barbecue. You know, you're seeing a lot of what they call the almost like the hipster barbecue now coming through.
Right.
And they're trying new things, which I don't think is they don't all work, but they're not all bad. And then there's the tried and tested. I love going to great, you know, barbecue shacks in Arkansas or Alabama and just having great plates of pulled pork and, you know, just wonderful. I love it. As you can tell, I have a great passion for
Well, one of the things that I really love is when you're tootling around, and I've done this in Texas and Kentucky and Georgia and where have you. But like you say, when you're tootling around and find a barbecue shack, the ones I always liked were the ones that were like old renovated gas stations.
Yeah.
And you just go in there and they have some of the greatest, you know, pulled pork or sliced ham or ribs or whatever. And they truly are just a little hole in the wall. And
they really are, and they're just doing it as a sideline. And
yes,
you go, you know, wow. And sometimes then they don't even think of what they're doing themselves as being extra special. They're just doing it for fun, and you it's wonderful when you find that, because it's people who aren't doing it for any fame or glory, or they're just doing it because they want to feed people, and that's kind of a nice aspect of barbecue. It's very hospitable. It's almost impossible to walk past any barbecue team without someone pushing a rib or a can of beer or something into your hand and, you know, and chatting with them for a while. So I love that about it. I love the community aspect of it probably more than anything else.
Oh, it's great stuff. We're going to take a break here in a minute, but first I want to tell you about our friends over at Bear Mountain Forest Products. As you know, up in this part of the world, we do a lot of pellet grilling, and I use my Black Olive pellet grill for that, and I use Bear Mountain Forest products for that because they're different woods, anything from hickory to mesquite to apple to cherry to you name it. They're all natural. There's no glues or adhesives that's put in there. Those pellets are all held together by pressure, and there's usually two woods, base wood, which is something up here, maybe ash or something like that, and then they also have, you know, they'll add the hickory or the mesquite or the cherry or whatever you have, and there's no perfumes in it like that. It's all natural. And that's one of the reasons I use the Bear Mountain Forest products, because they don't leave any residue or aftertaste. And you can check them out online at BearMountainForestProducts.com. You can do that and tell them Jeff sent you. Anyway, we're going to be back with our good friend Simon. I still want to call him Chef every time. That's the deal. So I'll just say that here. Chef Simon Majumdar from Food Network, and among other things, several books. And we'll be back on Barbecue Nation in just a minute. Don't go away.
It's a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now, with Barbecue Nation, here's JT on FM News 101.
Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation here on KXL and the Radio Northwest Network. Thanks for listening to us today. I'm JT, along with Reynolds, and we've got Chef Simon Majumdar there. I hope I'm saying that right, Simon, for you.
You are. You're perfect. I have to say, most people make such a, as we say in England, a dog's breakfast of trying to pronounce my name. But you're perfect.
Oh, well, thank you. So you are coming up to judge the state fair this afternoon, and you will be doing some salmon. And we were talking off the air about, so let's give the competitors a little hint if they're actually listening to this show. Simon doesn't want you to throw the kitchen sink, so to speak, at the salmon, correct?
I think so, and it's one of the things that I sometimes find a downside with barbecue anyway. And if you look at the way it's judged, often, you know, the kind of the protein just becomes a vehicle for whatever else, you know, you can find in the back of your pantry. And, you know, I think when you have such wonderful ingredients as, you know, the kind of salmon they're going to use to this afternoon, I want to be able to taste that salmon. I want it to be cooked properly. I don't want it to be just incinerated or covered in so many spices that you might as well be eating, you know, anything. You know, this salmon has a beautiful, subtle flavor. I think it's got to be treated with real respect. And it's something I use a lot, a term I use a lot when I'm judging on Iron Chef or various other shows. It's about respect for the ingredient. So the flavors that you add have got to be kind of complementary to the beautiful salmon, not smother it. So that's certainly something I'll be looking at. So if all I, if all I taste is just heat or sweet or, you know, sharp, then I'm not going to be so interested in that. It's going to be something that really highlights the flavor.
I find that true, you know, not just with salmon, fish in general, I find that too. But I find that, like you were saying, Simon, in barbecue, I think people sometimes, I don't know, the nice way to say it would be overdo it. They smother it with rubs and, you know, this assortment of flavors. But where is the pork? Where is the beef? Where is the lamb? Whatever. And you can't really taste too much of that.
Well, that's the thing. It becomes just a kind of texture thing.
Yes.
And people, when they're judging it, you know, they're more interested in, you know, how springy their piece of brisket is or how well the pulled pork or how well they've cut the money muscle or whatever, any of those things, all of which are important in terms of the technical cooking of barbecue and judging barbecue. But, you know, we sometimes forget that, you know, this is meant to be eaten. It's food. It's meant to be enjoyed. And if it's all just about the rub, you know, and I sometimes upset people in barbecue when they go, oh, there are 30-something ingredients in my rub, and I go, well, that's probably 29 too many. You know, for me, often when I do brisket or I just put salt and pepper on it.
Yeah.
And I use good white pepper for cooking because white pepper is not as bitter as black pepper, particularly in cooking. I'll use a good amount of salt. And then I always think that often Mother Nature has done all the rest of the work. Unfortunately, that doesn't win you many prizes in barbecue competitions, but I think from a pure eating point of view, it's often more enjoyable because you're not battling against the flavor of the ingredient. So I think sometimes competition cooking and cooking for, you know, pleasure, the pleasure of eating barbecue, are two different things, and they're two very, I mean, I often say to people, you wouldn't want to eat a lot of competition barbecue because it's meant to deliver one great bite to the judges.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's true. Simon, we're going to wrap up this show, but we are going to invite you back. We talked about that off the air, and so we're going to do a whole show with Simon here in a week or two, as soon as we can make our schedules jive. But I'm really tickled that you're coming up to Oregon and going to do the state fair this afternoon and do the salmon. And I hope you enjoy your trip up here. I really do.
I always do. I love, you know, this part of the country. And excitingly, it's my first ever state fair, so I'm hoping to eat lots of things on sticks.
Oh, you can. You can. My sister always said, you know, you could just go around and do put mustard on a stick, and somebody would buy it and eat it at a state fair, because it would be the only thing like it, you know? I think it's
maybe good. I need to set up a concession stand.
Yep.
And start doing interesting things on sticks.
All right.
Some of the interesting things I've had around the world.
I'm sure. All right, Chef Simon, thank you very much for being with us. And folks, Reynolds and I hope you all have a great Labor Day weekend. Thank you, Roger Collins and Chef Simon and McGarian's on deck, Bushlack's in the hole. Remember, my old saying, turn it, don't burn it. Well, I'll see you next week. Have a good one, folks.
Barbecue Nation is produced by Alpha Media USA in association with JTSD Productions, LLC. All rights reserved, copyright 2016. Barbecue Nation is managed skillfully by Reynolds in production compound 4 high above the skyline of PDX, the one with no windows. We'll be back next week with another entertaining and fun edition of Barbecue Nation. At least, that's what we believe. Remember, a good long smolder is better than a 2-minute flameout. See you next week.